Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
My Bible is open once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we are working our way through the personal greetings section of the final verses of this 16-chapter epistle. And it is not to be skimmed over lightly because there is quite a bit of information to be found in these personal greetings. We read in verse 19, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss." We'll get to that one eventually. And then finally, the salutation with my own hand, Paul's. So there are actually six greetings, and most of them are from more than one person. In fact, really only the last one where Paul sends a salutation on his own. But other than that, they are from various people, such as, number one, the churches of Asia, and number two, Aquila and Priscilla, and number three, the one that we're getting to today, from an Ephesian house church. And that is interesting, and really to me, all of them are interesting. I trust you've been with us for the last couple of broadcasts as we were talking about first the churches of Asia and then the life and ministry of Aquila and Priscilla, and what a significant impact they had upon the ministry of Paul and upon the planting of churches and the advancement of the kingdom of Christ across the Roman Empire. Really is quite amazing when you look at all of the evidence. You have to piece it together from the book of Acts and from various epistles, but there's a lot of information there. And when you put it all together, you say, wow, these people were really involved, really committed, and really made an impact for eternity. They certainly did. And they send their greetings, and I didn't make mention of this on Friday, but they send their greetings heartily. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord. That's not a common phrase. I don't know any place else where that particular word is used, but it's used here. They sent strong, warm, energetic, hearty greetings to the church at Corinth. So they had, of course, they had been there. They had been part of that church in the early days, so they were very close to it, and they were very interested in what is going on there. So they send their greetings in this epistle that Paul sends back to them. But now we move on to the Ephesian house church, and we'll look at that in a moment right after I greet you on this Monday, August 8. And as I remind you that we can only do this as we have financial help from our radio listeners. So back again to verse 19. The churches of Asia greet you. That's greeting number one. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord. That's greeting number two. With the church that is in their house. A church met in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. Now we've already noticed on the broadcast on Friday last week that Aquila and Priscilla were, from all the evidence we have in Scripture, very successful business owners, business partners, husband and wife team, but they had a very large and thriving business that seemed to employ a lot of people and even had branches in different cities and in different continents, some in Asia, some in Europe. That's the evidence that we have here. And so, of course, with all of that, we would understand that these were wealthy people, and they would have a large house, and we've talked about that before. But we find reference to these house churches. There are house churches mentioned in Ephesus and Rome and Colossae and Laodicea. But the question is, why was there a church in the house of Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus, where Paul is writing to now? Because, writing from now, he's writing to Corinth, but he's writing from Ephesus, because we read in Acts chapter 19 that Paul had acquired the use of a school building for the ongoing work of the church there. And so it would seem that at least for part of the time, the church at Ephesus met in the school of a man named Tyrannus. But here we learn that the church, or a church, met in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. And the question is, did the Ephesian church relocate? Did they meet initially in this building? We would probably say rented building. There's no particular reference to the exact arrangements that allowed them to use the building, whether it was loaned to them free of charge or whether it was rented to them. But since there is no indication that Tyrannus was a believer, it would seem more likely to assume that he rented the building to them. He didn't use it probably on weekends. He used it through the week, and he didn't use it in the afternoons, and that's when Paul had school. He had, we'd say, Bible college or seminary classes there throughout the week in the afternoon, during the time when it was the hottest and a lot of people didn't like to do anything at that time of day. It was more customary after the noon meal for people to go home and take a siesta and then come back out in the evening in the cooler portion of the day and oftentimes go on late into the night, having had a nice nap, maybe a couple of hours nap in the afternoon. So that provided an opportunity for Paul to use his facility at a time when Tyrannus was not using it. He may have had morning classes, he may have had evening classes, but apparently he didn't have afternoon classes. The building was vacant during that time. So Paul, always looking for ways to advance the cause of the gospel, acquired the use of the building during that time. And that being so, it raises the question, what does this say about the commitment of Paul and of the students, that they were willing to attend school at the time that customarily they would have been resting? It tells you how committed they were. Yes, that is our custom. That's been our habit for many years, but here's something that's more important. Would to God that Christians felt that way today. It seems like today any reason justifies Christians not inconveniencing themselves. And in the case of Paul and the formation of the church in Ephesus, it was just the opposite. These people were willing to inconvenience themselves. They were willing to study during the undesirable part of the day. But again, the question is, did the Ephesian church relocate? Did they meet, or another possibility, did they meet daily in a school and Sundays in a home, the home of Aquila and Priscilla? And that, of course, is a possibility. Or there's another possibility. Did the church at Ephesus subdivide the congregation into smaller units? And we don't know the answer to these questions. We can only raise them to think about them. But it does say, Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Is that the church of Ephesus, or is that a portion of the church at Ephesus? We do not know. But most of the New Testament churches met in homes. But at times, we are talking about one church in one house in one city. At other times, and again, this is what we find in the New Testament evidence, at other times, there were subgroups of larger churches meeting in homes. As for example, in Acts chapter 12, when Peter is in prison, And when he is miraculously released from prison, he goes to the home of the mother of John Mark and finds a prayer meeting. And that seems to indicate that this is a home prayer meeting, not the whole church. Well, it couldn't have been. The Church of Jerusalem numbered into the thousands. There wouldn't have been a home large enough. So for meetings like this, a night prayer meeting, they had to meet in smaller groups in homes, and there might have been prayer meetings going on in multiple homes all over the city. We don't know, but Peter went to this one. It may have been the only prayer meeting going on at that time, but there may have been others, but he went to this one. So at times, subgroups of the larger church met in homes. But you see, and here's the point that we need to get from all of this, the meeting place is not essential to the function of the church. What is essential? Apostolic doctrine and practice, the teaching of God's word. That's what ought to be front and center whenever the church gathers together. It ought to be to open the word of God and to consider a portion of scripture, to examine it, to have it taught, to have it explained, to have it exposited. But of course, along with that, there is a singing of praise to God. It is a worship service. There are public prayers to God. There are other things, at times of fellowship that go on, meals that are enjoyed together. All of these things go on. But it is apostolic and practice, apostolic doctrine and practice that is essential to the church. That needs to occur wherever and whenever the church meets, but the place where the church meets is not essential to the function of the church. It's the biblically prescribed activities that are essential to the function of the church. Now, we get people from time to time, and we have this emphasis in our day where some people say, well, in order to have a really New Testament church, a genuine New Testament church, we need to abandon church buildings and start meeting in homes. And so there's a whole house church movement that has grown up. And I'm probably talking to some of you who are involved in that. I know people here in this area who are involved in that. And as far as I have been able to discern, I don't know that I've examined every one of these, but as far as I've been able to discern, these meetings really don't qualify as a church from a New Testament standpoint because they seldom have recognized pastors, recognized deacons, a recognized church membership. It tends to be basically an informal, loosely organized, well, really not organized, a Bible study in a home, led oftentimes by men, fathers of some of the families that meet together. That's a good thing for these men to be able to do that, be able to minister the word. But no recognized elders, no recognized deacons, no recognized membership. It doesn't quite meet the pattern of churches. It doesn't meet the definition of churches. Yours may be an exception. I hope it is. Because the point is, the meeting place is not essential to the function of the church. And a church can meet in a home. They obviously did in the New Testament. Or it can also meet in a building that has been constructed for that purpose. There's nothing ungodly, nothing unchristian, nothing ungenuine about that. That's really incidental. Don't get hung up in straining at gnats, because we need to stick to the camel, the substance, and that's what's important. Well, we'll return to this section tomorrow. Thank you for joining me. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.